There is no shortage of indices and benchmarks and statistical measurements in the investment industry used by the industry to understand the market, understand what's going on. There is one index that you might not have heard of. It is called the Advocus Financial Advisors Index, and we're going to talk a bit about what it is and what it means. Ivy Business School lecturer Chuck Grace is here, as well as Advocus President and CEO Greg Pollack. Hello to you both.
Hey, how you doing, Bruce?
Greg, let me start with you. What is the Advocus Financial Advisors Index, and what does it measure?
Well, you know, quite some time ago now, I think it's about 5 or 6 years ago, a lot of our advisors were speaking to us about the fact that their clients get nervous from time to time, depending upon what the headwinds are and so forth. And as we reflected on all of this, you know, we actually began to realize that these clients have some insights and almost anticipatory insights in terms of the direction of the economy, the direction of the markets. You know, when is it a good time to invest? When is it not a good time to invest? This sort of thing. So we started to think, look, we need to build something around this that's a lot more technical. If you want, that's when we connected with Ivy School of Business and Chuck Grace, and we built it from there.
So, Chuck, tell me a bit about the methodology here. Is it, you know, the number of clients who are smoking cannabis in the waiting room of a financial advisor's office equals the concern they have about the performance of the stock market equals et cetera? Or am I oversimplifying it?
We hadn't thought of that particular one.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you for that. No, we're reaching out to a panel of advisors on a monthly basis, asking them the same questions each time. It's a list of questions that range from how confident are they in the economy, what are they seeing from their clients in terms of behavior, are they looking for advice, are they spending money, are they withdrawing money, investing money. If they're investing it, where are they investing it, which asset classes, for example. The kind of rate of return that they are expecting or counseling their clients to expect in the future. And a couple of metrics about the state of their practice. Is their practice growing or shrinking, or how does that look?
And what link do you endeavor to make to those findings and what is going on in the world around us? Like, do you have statistical proof that there is a correlation to, I don't know, GDP or stock market performance or those kinds of metrics that we're much more familiar with?
Yes, and it's proving to be surprisingly robust. So we have measured each of those data points against about 20 different economic indicators, and the stats have come back quite strongly and show us that the advisors are a very strong indicator and barometer of what's happening with their clients and through their clients, therefore the economy in general.
Now, I'm sure, Chuck, this supports what you are endeavoring to do with Advocus, that you would like to position the financial advisors in your evoked set as being experts in the economy and in the markets. So this is good news for you.
Yes, absolutely. We've proven quite conclusively that they're very strongly sensitive to what's happening with their clients and therefore what's happening in the economy.
Now, Advocus doesn't represent every single financial advisor, at least every single person who calls themselves a financial advisor in this country for a number of different reasons, one of them being that the term financial advisor is pretty loosely applied, which is kind of problematic in my view, probably in yours too. How do you think through the interpretation of these results given that not everybody who says they're a financial advisor would necessarily be able to deliver that level of insight that this study focuses on?
I guess it's in the numbers. It's in the robustness of the sample size and the number of clients that each advisor is seeing. So the numbers become quite robust if you take 1,000 advisors and they've each got 300 to 400 clients. We're seeing a very broad cross-section of Canadian society with numbers that large. And statistically, we can be quite confident in the results.
I get pitched data like this multiple times a week, Chuck. Tell us about the intellectual and research rigor that Ivy requires you to put into this that a general survey might not require. I mean, the press release includes a comment from your dean of sciences. So if it's not a peer-reviewed journal, it's certainly something that's staking the reputation of Ivy and Western University on its accuracy.
Yeah, so it's certainly not a peer-reviewed journal. It hasn't been through that kind of rigor. But we do have the support of the Dean of Science. He's a very important and enthusiastic partner of this. And therefore, we have access to a number of students, postgrads, who are administering this and have controls in place to ensure that the rigor is there and that we can be confident in the results.
Greg, the release includes a reference to, quote, all the speculation about the impact of robo-advisors on our industry. What are you getting at with that comment?
You know, we certainly believe that the, you know, one-on-one interaction between clients and their advisors are going to make a significant difference in their long-term success as investors. Not to say, though, that robo-advice doesn't have a role to play. It clearly does have a role to play, but it was not a connection at the time when we launched this particular concept.
Chuck, I want to come back to the index itself. Can you give us a couple of the bullets on findings that you deem to be relevant to the market?
Sure. I think one of the big ones that jumps out for me is that month after month now for well over 5 years, when we look at the number one threat facing Canadians and getting in the way of them achieving their financial goals, advisors tell us it's client behavior and debt loads. Mm. And so just focusing on those two as something advisors can use to anticipate conversations with clients, it adds tremendous value because they can anticipate coming into a meeting that that's what's going to be on a client's mind, as opposed to headlines and those kind of things.
Chuck, how do financial advisors deal with the debt element, given that it isn't necessarily in their, it's not in their circle of control, but it isn't necessarily what they're focused on because they're not compensated based on a client's ability to take credit card debt down to zero, for example?
You know, there's this misnomer that advisors, Bruce, are just out there, you know, wanting to collect fees and put fees in their pockets and so forth. And yes, that's important for people. I understand that. But it's much more holistic in terms of the kind of advice that many of these advisors are providing. And in the long term, if they work with their clients and they're able to modify their clients' behaviors, that's going to lead to success for those clients. And, of course, then that's going to lead to success for those advisors. So advising on things like debt management or appropriate savings, you know, major purchases, these kinds of one-offs, if you want, from time to time, is very, very much a part of the relationship between the advisor and the client.
I agree with you 1,000%. And anytime I hear someone raving about their extraordinary financial advisor, it isn't about investment returns. It's about their ability to think holistically and engage on all manner of things that relate to someone's personal financial health. Gentlemen, I'm afraid that's all the time we have, but I really appreciate you taking some of yours to join us.
Terrific. Thanks, Bruce.
You're totally welcome. From Ivy Business School, lecturer Chuck Grace and Advocus President and CEO Greg Pollack on the Advocus Financial Advisors Index and what it can tell us about the market and the future.